At the third hour, they led him to Golgotha. The creator of wood and iron endured their bite as nails tore through his flesh. The soldiers gambled for his clothes as his blood fell to the earth. Every hammer strike fulfilled ancient prophecies written centuries before.
Crucifixion, but they perfected it. Kings and empires had practiced this form of torture and death long before Jesus the Nazarene was born. For hundreds of years, slaves and thieves, murderers and enemies of the state suffered and died on wooden crosses, raised up for all to see. But these weren't ordinary deaths, they had a purpose. These deaths were painful. The criminals flogged beforehand, forced to carry their own crossbeams nailed to the wood. These deaths were shameful. The person stripped naked, taunted, jeered at, the death prolonged. And these deaths were public, performed in open spaces, people encouraged to come and see. All of these, a sharp reminder of the might of Rome and that death comes for those who oppose her. But not only were these kinds of deaths painful, shameful, and public, they were also common. Tens of thousands would die in this way at the hands of the Romans. And so on a Friday in April, three men were scheduled for crucifixion. Another week, another reminder of the sovereign power of the Roman Empire. This Jesus the Nazarene, they say he incites rebellion. This Jesus the Nazarene, they say he calls himself King of the Jews. This Jesus the Nazarene, they say he's an enemy of Caesar. But others say he heals. Others say he feeds. Others say he casts out demons and forgives sin. Others say he saves. But no one saves the people but Rome. No one rules but Caesar. His own countrymen say he's a rebel. His own religious leaders say he's a heretic. And so Jesus, the Nazarene, is charged and sentenced by Pontius Pilate. Dragged before a court laced with lies, Pilate is confused why the man won't defend himself. He senses that this man is innocent, but the crowd has turned on him. And so, washing himself of any guilt, Pilate gives Jesus the Nazarene over to be crucified. Jesus is mocked and flogged, his back flayed open with a whip, carried to a courtyard and tied to a post. A Roman soldier lashes Jesus over and over again, spilling his blood all over the stones. A crown of thorns is found and made and shoved on his head. King of the Jews, it mocks. And Jesus is forced to walk the dusty road to a hill outside of the city, carrying his own cross. And as people watch him pass by, saying, "Wasn't this the man the Jews said would save them?" But Jesus is walking too slowly, and a Roman soldier grabs a man in the crowd, Simon of Cyrene, and says, "Carry this man's cross to his place of execution." And on that hill, Jesus is nailed to the wood, his hands and feet stretched out and laid against the rough wood of the cross, nails driven through his flesh and bone, his death all but certain. And this man is raised up to die, his shoulders catching the weight of his body, his lungs no longer able to fill completely with each breath. Painful, shameful, public. Another reminder that Rome rules and Caesar is in control. Another Friday, another rebel, another crucifixion. Or is it?
At noon, creation itself rebelled against the sight of its dying lord. The sun refused to shine as darkness fell across the land. For 3 hours, the world lay shrouded in shadow. A cosmic testimony to the cosmic tragedy unfolding on a Roman cross.
In the beginning, God created. And darkness was over the face of the deep and formless void. But God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Light set apart from darkness. There's an illustration. Then humanity, God's creation made in the image of the light, rebelled against it. The result? Guilt. Curse, set apart from God, set under darkness. And the darkness has been between us and God since. It was a darkness that had wrapped the mountain of God with cloud and gloom, separating Israel from the one who judged over them with justice. Out of this thick darkness, the great and loud sound of God's voice had spoken his law and caused his people to tremble at the one who was set apart. But in the darkness, they and we stumbled on, groping for the light under the penalty of the dark. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, Isaiah said. But the Lord will arise upon you. His glory will be seen upon you, he promised. Glory seen. Mostly we didn't see glory. Mostly we saw the dark. But then, after generations, it happened. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light on them. Light has shone. Jesus, here. With us saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light had come into darkness, but the people loved the darkness rather than the light. Because their works were evil. Loved dark works, evil, darkness set apart from light. And yet, this light, takes his invasion of the darkness further than we dared imagine. For those under darkness, Jesus pays the ransom with his life. Judgment being paid, the transaction, excruciating, is pending. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. When God Almighty comes to deal with sin, it is a great and terrible day. Calamity, dread, foreboding, and gloom. So at high noon, God gives darkness. The sun, dying at its apex, paradox, reversal. The sun, dying in place of his creation, paradox, reversal. For our good, that we might be delivered from the domain of darkness, to see the light of the glory of God revealed in Jesus, that Nazarene, there in the dreadful dark, fastened to a common cross.
Eden was opened through his blood. The perfect sacrifice was complete.
You can be seated. This common cross held an uncommon man who died an uncommon death. Jesus the Nazarene, who had lived his life in full communion. This Jesus, the Nazarene, who was God himself, sacrificed for the salvation of many. This death was different. Not just because of what happened, but because of what it accomplished. Not just because it was the death of an innocent man, not just because creation cried out, but because this death made a way for sinners like me and you to come back to God. In Jerusalem, the temple of the Lord had stood for hundreds of years. It was a physical place where the people of God could worship him. And anyone could find forgiveness of sin there. But it came at a cost. God was perfect and could not be in the presence of sin. His holiness demanded perfection, and his justice demanded punishment for sin. And so, forgiveness of sin, communion with God, requires sacrifice. And for hundreds of years, priests sacrificed animals in the place of the people. And while personal sin demanded personal punishment, God made a way for sins to be covered by the blood of animals. Blood for sin, death for forgiveness. This animal in my place, year after year, sacrifice after sacrifice, a constant reminder of man's sinfulness and the rift it creates between God. But the blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin. They couldn't take it away. And in this temple, there was a room that represented the presence of God. And once a year, the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God himself. What an incredible place. What an incredible day. And what a stark reminder of the cost of sin and the distance between God and man. Man was separate from God spiritually and physically because no one is holy like God is holy. No one is perfect like God is perfect. And so the Holy of Holies remained separate, a curtain placed between God and man, hanging the height and the breadth of the inner room, protecting sinful man from the holy God. But on this Friday, on a hill outside of the city, the perfect and spotless lamb was offered once for all, the ultimate sacrifice to pay the price that sin incurred. A man lived a perfect life and died an unjust death for sins that he did not commit. A perfect sacrifice for a broken people. A great exchange, God for man, who can now enter into the presence of God because their sin has not just been covered, they have been removed. And the curtain that separated God from man was torn forever. Jesus, the Son of God, giving access to the Father, to you and to me. And this common cross, this object of pain and shame, of humiliation and death, this thing that humanity had sinfully used, had been turned by our God for our salvation, our restoration, and our forgiveness. This uncommon death of Jesus Christ declared that Rome was not in control, that Satan was not pulling the strings. It declared that God the Father was sovereign on Good Friday. So as we remember the cross tonight, let's listen and reflect on the body that was broken in your place and the blood that was shed for you. And so through this next song, let's remain seated and quiet our hearts and remember the access to the Father that you have because of the person of Jesus Christ.
Perfect life exchanged for mine. I'm a sinner.